And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of Thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
We're less than 40 hours away until this election. A number of issues are cropping up that people are focusing on in the final days of this campaign. And one of them is what happened after Hurricane Sandy. If you pick up a number of newspapers, people on the East Coast are just screaming that they're not getting enough aid. The government needs to get in a little bit more, which brings up the issue of how far does the federal government go, and state government for that matter, in terms of intervening when these disasters take place. And drawing a line can be difficult, because if it's your disaster, it's the most important thing for you. I know something about that, living down here in Louisiana, where we have hurricanes right and left, and we're always prepared. Well, my guest right now is Matt Meyer. He's with the Heritage Foundation, and he's written several articles that basically take to task some states and some news outlets who are calling for a wider role for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, and we're trying to define just how far does government go in bailing people out of these disasters here today. Matt, glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
Matt, will you kind of elaborate? I read the article that you wrote. It appeared in a number of newspapers throughout the country, basically saying that that FEMA-sized, that Sandy would be a FEMA-sized storm, but that there is too much reaction to FEMA. I guess the average person down where I live would be a little defensive. They'd want some clarification if you live along the Gulf Coast, to where, you know, there's kind of a chip on the shoulder of a lot of people down my way who say, look, we are supplying the energy to the nation. We're supplying most of its seafood. We're supplying the chemicals. We're supplying more sulfur than any place in the country. And when you have those kinds of things the country needs, there should be a response to see these areas are protected. So it's a murky area of defining the line. Elaborate, if you will, on the article you wrote and your focus towards government's involvement when it comes to these natural disasters.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thrust of the article in my position is we need federal involvement in FEMA when we have the big nasty catastrophic events like Sandy or Katrina, Northridge earthquake out there in California, 9/11, the things that really have, you know, regional or nationally catastrophic or impacts, things that are beyond a simple state or local government's ability to handle. Clearly, Katrina was that. And so I think, you know, you're right to have that kind of position. The issue here is, and this is why it matters, the issue is that FEMA, over the last two decades, has nationalized more and more of what we would consider routine natural disasters that aren't overwhelming states or local governments. They're just routine tornadoes, routine floods, routine snowstorms, routine fires, and that 20 years ago were entirely dealt with and paid for at the state and local level. But because of the 75% cost shift to the federal government when you get a FEMA declaration, more and more governors run to FEMA because they want to get those costs shifted out of their state and onto the backs of other states. Why it matters is because if FEMA is getting involved in over 100 declarations per year, and last year there were 242 declarations, a record almost doubling the previous record. That means every 2.5 days, FEMA is dealing with something new across America. Most of those were not regionally or nationally catastrophic, did not have regional national impact. And what that means is FEMA is not spending enough time or resources preparing for the big events and using resources for smaller events, which means when the big events like Katrina, like Sandy occur, you see a weak response out of FEMA. And I think we're just starting to see now that things aren't going very well in Sandy, and that's, you know, 7 years after things didn't go very well in Katrina. Well, how could we not have fixed these problems 7 years later? And I can tell you why, because FEMA spends too much time dealing with routine disasters across America every single year.
Yeah, Matt, I would agree with you about the lack of planning. We've had so many first-hand experiences of that. And as I'm told, I talked to a major military officer, a general who lives down the Tampa logistics area where they run these tests. He says, Jim, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we run what-if scenarios. We know if any country does anything to attack America, here's what we'll do in this situation or that situation. You don't get the sense that FEMA has done that, that they come in and blow into to little disaster after or big disaster, but you wonder about the long-range planning. To tell you just an absurd example of this, the Canadian Mounties, the Canadian Mounted Police, made it down to parts of Louisiana before the first federal official was able to get down here and put a program together after Katrina. 6 days before there was any federal, and it got back to planning. It was, well, you know, once it hits up, everybody scatters and does their thing. But I think I would agree with you in the fact that a certain amount of pre-planning needs to be done and don't get diverted. I remember hearing a governor of California some years back saying, look, there's always brush fires. At some point, you got to sit back and look at the long-range view. You can't just spend all your time putting out brush fires. And it kind of seems like that's what FEMA is doing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great analogy, is that FEMA is very busy with brush fires, and because of that is not spending the time I think it needs to prepare for the big stuff. And it's not just that. They're using resources, right? They have to, every time they get into involved, they have to ship water, they food, they ship all the things, generators, and all those types of things. And so, you know, here we are, what, it's Sunday. I think Friday they ran out of water. So now, you know, people are without water. They can't figure out the fuel issue. The generation issue is a problem. You know, you've got people who are dumpster diving to feed themselves because they can't get access to stuff. How is it that, as you say, how is it that FEMA has not done multiple exercises or planning scenarios that involve New York, New Jersey, major population densities, major infrastructure issues, where they knew the things that might happen and so could prepare for those things in the event of a nor'easter or a hurricane or even any other type of event?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that about half the population in America, half the population lives within 50 miles of a coastline. And we're seeing so many examples of weather-related tragedies along coastlines. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's not global warming. Maybe it's something else. But for whatever reason, there is a significant increase in these events we just didn't see in the past before, number one. Number two, everybody wants to live along the coast, so there's been so much new construction where a lot of people who are not living there in the past now are living there. So this is going to be a continuing problem where you'd think the computer modules would be running tests. Hey, what if it happens in California? What happens if it handles again in South Florida? Are we prepared? How long does it take to get the water there, as you alluded to? And so that seems to be a real weakness there, Matt. And it's not really, would you agree with me on this? It doesn't look like it's just a Democratic problem or Republican problem under presidents. No president and no Congress seems to have done a very good job of planning for these future events.
Yeah, no, this is not a Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. This really is, you know, FEMA historically has performed poorly in catastrophic events. And it's because, again, over the last decade, we've gotten more and more kind of brush fire activity out of FEMA. And, you know, the reality is got to be, let's reserve the federal government, FEMA, for the big stuff and allow them the time and resources to plan and prepare for the big stuff. And let's get back to governors and mayors taking care of things that happen in their jurisdiction, because, you know, Ohioans shouldn't be subsidizing tornadoes in Oklahoma, and Oklahomans shouldn't be subsidizing floods in Northeast Ohio. They happen every year. We know they're going to happen. They don't have regional or national impacts. So why in the world are we nationalizing these things? For no good reason. So that's a really important thing that we've got to keep in mind. And then the other issue that you raised, which really gets back to another federal program, the National Flood Insurance Program, which is bankrupt, by the way. It's going to get more bankrupt. And what's happened is we have, between the flood insurance program federally and state rate caps, people, more and more people, as you say, have wanted to move to the coast, but few people pay the true cost to insure their homes living in that coast, because either states put rate caps that essentially force insurance companies to spread the real cost across the country for people living on the coast, or the flood insurance program essentially puts the private sector out, and so people can get flood insurance and not pay a real rate that they should pay for living in an area that is that close to the coast, where we know there's going to be flooding if there's a tropical storm or hurricane. And so that gets back to the compounding the issue part of it.
Very much so. Hey, Matt, I got to go. Matt Meyer with the Heritage Foundation. I'll put that link of his column up on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Matt, have a good weekend. We'll watch election night, and thanks for being with us.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at gcnlive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know: PPG.
PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready, some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're looking at that Hurricane Sandy up there. What a tragedy to so many people up the East Coast. And we've got a large listener audience within the range of the hurricane up that way. WVNJ, huge station in New Jersey, covering most of New York City. And a lot of listeners out there. Our hearts go out to you. And I want to make a couple of comments because, again, I live down in the hurricane center of America, down in the state of Louisiana. We went through Hurricane Katrina and so many hurricanes before that. I'm remember my first hurricane, if I remember correctly, I was down at Tulane Law School down in New Orleans. Hurricane Betsy came down in 1962. I'd been working up in upstate New York at the time at a camp. I was an athletic director for a camp up there and took the train down to New Orleans. And the city was just devastated. I mean, trees were along the highways. You couldn't drive anywhere. I walked about 8 miles to get up to where I was living at Tulane University up St. Charles Avenue. And the city was in chaos for a long, long time. We've had our share of them since that point in time. Now, people are understandably angry, and it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the show with the gentleman from the Heritage Foundation about pre-planning. We don't get the sense that the what-if scenarios are taking place enough. What happens along the North Carolina coast or going on up into New York? The California coast, if a major earthquake erupts, and you know, in a computer, you would think there would be 10,000 scenarios, and if this scenario happened, if the storm hit from Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina to Virginia, and it went so far inland, and the winds were such and such a factor, you think you could kick out, okay, here's the number of homes lost, here's the number of lives that are at stake, and how do we get basics in there? People in New York right now and in New Jersey are screaming for water, say, well, they're out of water. And so how do you get those supplies in there? And how do you logistically move all these materials in? Do you do it with helicopters? Do you, in some instances, send in and just throw a parachute around some stuff to drop it into the local mayors complaining you can't get any response? And so I understand that. On the other hand, now let me say this, and maybe it's because we've learned this lesson down here. And I want to go back at the break just before I came on this segment. There was an advertisement here on my show for MySurvivalGoods.com, and I'm not urging people to go buy products over the Internet for their survival. I'm just saying you ought to think these things through depending on where you live. 50% of America lives within 50 miles of a coastline. So half the country is susceptible to a hurricane, some violent storm. That's just a fact. And the rest of the country is having a whole series of new problems that in the numbers have not been experienced in the past. The tornadoes that are taking place and the droughts that are taking place. We saw the huge drought up through the Dakotas not too long ago. Then the major flooding along the Mississippi River from Canada all the way down the line of the Mississippi River going into Indiana, Illinois. Major flooding along those lines where people's homes are wiped out. I mentioned the tornadoes. The terrible event that happened up in Alabama. I was going to a nephew's graduation in Alabama 2 years ago when that tornado hit. Killed, what, over 100 people. Canceled the graduation. I went about 2 months later to the graduation. Just devastating. Devastating up in Tuscaloosa. So there's very few areas in America where you are not open to some type of major disaster. Here's the point I'm making. The lesson we've learned down this part of the country is that you need to do some your own preparation. Most Americans have about 3 days food supply. That's what the average American has before you have to go to the store and fill up. You have some things that go beyond that. But what can you do to extend that time if the worst case scenario happens and there's no help there for you? Got a nephew up in Deal, New Jersey. All you folks listening there up in the Deal area, WVNJ. I talked to him before the storm and he said, you know, He'd gotten a lot of dry goods, and he'd stocked up on water, and he had canned goods, things that he could get by with without cooking, not having to cook. Or maybe just heating up, he could use on a little butane stove. Had him a butane stove, had lots of water, had things he could heat up. He could have some soups and that kind of thing heated up on a little butane stove. So he didn't need electricity. He had candles, and he had extra ways to have light because he said, you know, I might not have electricity for a month. So I'm just saying you think it through. Think it through. Now, if you're in an area that has gas, then you consider a generator. A lot of people, I never considered a generator. Got one in 19, after Katrina, we got a generator in my house. It's run on gas. Usually gas lines are buried beneath the ground and don't get ruptured. And though you don't have electricity, you have gas. Well, the gas can run a generator. It can run your stove. It can run a number of appliances that you may have. So that's something to consider. But I get back to a little preparedness. I've seen some terrible examples of people just screaming that they're not getting any response. So here's a gentleman saying, this is in the New York Times today, "I am screaming mad because there is an inhumane way to live. They had days of notice before the storm and nothing was done." And I guess the only thing I'd ask this gentleman is, you may be right, and I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right. The local coordination with the state authorities and the feds obviously was lacking. But what did you do to prepare yourself? If I'm living 50 miles from the coastline, and I'm talking to a half of America out there, if I live 50, or if I'm living in my home of Baton Rouge, it's 100 miles from the coastline, because we've had power outages. I've had power outages up to 10 days in the past. I'm going to be prepared to cover myself and my family for a couple of weeks. I'm going to do it by stacking up bottled water. The water's, you know, most of that water's been in the ground for 2,000 years. It's not going to go bad on you, right? And you can go out and buy these little crystal light packets, and you, if you want to have some tea or something, pour them in your water. It's not cold water, but it's water, fresh water. You can get all kinds of packs. Well, I mentioned earlier the advertisement on the show before, mysurvivalgoods.com. There are a number of sources like that. Look, what does the military do? Our military goes off for and has to be taken care of for weeks at a time. And so they buy the vacuum-packed goods, ready-prepared meals that you can eat right there and have prepared for yourself. So I don't want to show a lack of sympathy for our friends on the East Coast and New York and New Jersey who suffered so terribly. I just hope it's a wake-up call that this could happen again. And I don't care how much government is prepared. The federal government cannot deal with 10 million people whose backs are against the walls and you know, the bridges are knocked out. The streets are flooded. Nowhere for helicopters to land. Let's face it, it just may take you a couple of days. It may take a week. So you may have to fend for yourself. You do so with a little kerosene stove and the water and the food and the blankets. You have a survival plan for you and your family. And this is not the maybe way I might consider it. Don't consider that. If you're 50% of America, you ought to have it. And if you don't have it, then yes, we want to have government accountable. We're going to hold you accountable, too. You can only ask so much for government. You got to take care of yourself. You got to be prepared for the worst. The Lord helps those who help themselves, and this is a good example. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Coming back right after the break. We've got lots more to talk about. Talk about that election when you come on back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, Berkey, waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
2 days away till our election, polls are opening, and so many, I think 35% of the people have already voted. One thing you can do in most states throughout this country, you can take your child or your grandchild into the voting booth with you, which I think is a great idea. I was the chief elections officer here in Louisiana for 8 years, and I encouraged that. We'd often set up mock voting machines in the schools and let kids come and see how the process works. But I think it's great to take your kids in and when you vote, and also talk to them. This is a great educational time. What does all this rhetoric, what does all this mean? Kids have questions, and there's a great way to educate your children, future citizens, with the election process. Joining me right now is Mary Jane McKittrick. She's been a former TV producer and written a great book called Boomer and Holly on Election Day, A Town Votes for Civic Responsibility, trying to find ways to encourage kids to get more into the process. Hey, Mary Jane, good to talk to you today.
Hey, Jim, nice to be with you. Thank you.
Pick up on what I said, if you will, Mary Jane, about how important it is to spend a little time talking to your kids, your grandkids, nieces and nephews about the election and how it can be a wonderful educational tool for those future citizens.
Absolutely, Jim. As a matter of fact, not only was I a TV producer, but also an anchor and a reporter, so I had a lot of experience talking to many politicians along the way. And one of the things that I tell parents as I go out and promote these books, the books are actually directed to 4 to 8 year olds. So we really want to start early with this because politics is everywhere in our lives, not just at the voting booth. And what we start with is telling people that, you know, when the cameras are off and the microphones are down, a lot of politicians will tell you they got into politics to be of service, to make a difference in their community. And that's a great message for kids. You know, be of service in your home, to your mom and your dad, to the neighbors. Take the trash out. Clean up your rooms. You know, start focusing on helping others at an early age. That's what civility, that's what character building is all about. And the second point we mentioned to adults is talk to your kids about the quality you look for in leaders, political leaders or community leaders. Is it integrity, honesty, empathy, consistency, patience? What are the qualities that you value in your home? Because that's what the kids are going to pick up on. That's the kind of friend they're going to look for, the kind of employer, and ultimately the kind of mate. And the third point we tell them is, at the end of the day, on Wednesday or Thursday, if your candidate doesn't win, how do you respond? Because politics, like a lot of things in life, is a contest. And there are winners and there are losers. And our responses to that, just like in a sporting game, is very important for our kids as a lesson. So those are the kinds of things that we wrap politics and messaging to children. And it, we find that it's very effective.
Well, I agree with you. And you know, some people say, well, you know, I've got the right to a secret vote, and you do. But unless you've got some real compelling reason you're embarrassed about or you want to hide, I like to go over the ballot with my kids. I tell them exactly who I'm voting for and why. I give them a little background. Why does this person's views reflect mine? What do I hope they will accomplish? And why I think it's important to vote for them? And you have used that source so good, as you say, your kids' books from 4 to 8. The book is called Boomer and Hallie, and you can order the book and find out more about it on my website, by the way, at www.jimbrownusa.com. It's all right there, Mary Jane's Mary Jane's book. Mary Jane, what kind of how do you when you're getting this book around, how do you get parents interested? How responsive are they to spending some time? Some folks say, "Oh, a 4-year-old is not going to pay any attention to the election process." But what kind of response have you been getting?
I think these books are as much for the parent as they are for the child, to be honest with you, Jim. This particular book is the third in our series, and I'm happy to tell you it won a National Mom's Choice Award and the Pinnacle Children's Book Award, so it is being very well received. And the reason it is because the stories are entertaining. It's humor. The life lessons are embedded within the story format. This is a little dog, Boomerang, the Australian Shepherd, and Allie's Comet, the silver streak of a cat, who come to live with adults Edna and Harold Sanders in a small southern town called Shady Pines. And the way we teach these lessons, and there are 4 different life lessons embedded in each of the Boomer and Hallie books, is by just kind of letting the child ride along with the process. And in this particular book, our mayor of Shady Pines, Beauregard Fibbs, so named because he can't tell the truth, has run off with some of the town's money. So the town decides to have a special election. So the kids get to see how elections work within a small town setting. And it's fun, but the important messaging of forgiveness, honesty, responsibility, and even pet care are embedded in this story. So we let young children experiences with a dog and a cat and a family and a community, because the point we're trying to make is the kinds of values you're talking about, whether it's politics or just life, it starts at the home. You know, that's where life lessons are initially taught. And then if a child learns to clean up the mess there, by golly, one day they might be in New Jersey trying to help out with a hurricane mess, huh?
Yeah, and I think we just assume that our kids are not that tuned into issues like this. They don't really pay that much attention. That's something when you're a teenager, maybe getting close to voting, we talk about those things. But I've found, and do you find that young kids at the age of 5, 6, or 7 are really interested and aware about what's happening politically?
More than you would realize, because you can't get away from it. I mean, look at the little child that was just on NPR. Did you see that? It's been on YouTube everywhere, where this little kid was caught crying because she was just so tired of all the political stuff. You know, children are very aware. It's in their houses, it's on their televisions, and they're very aware of the parental tone that discusses it. In other words, if you talk about politics with anger and that son of a gun, blah, 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 you know, they pick up on that. And it's the 4 or 5-year-old who, by the time they're 16, is now emulating that kind of anger and tone. You gotta watch. I've had people call me and tell me in speeches and on the radio all kinds of examples where they didn't even realize the role modeling they were doing and how it later affected their lives. One woman, for instance, was just driving and she got a speeding ticket. And she was so happy. She talked her way out of that ticket. until she realized her 7-year-old was in the back seat, and she just taught him how to cheat and fly his way out of problems. And she said, won't that come back to haunt me? So you're absolutely right. Walking
very
the
much
walk
so.
And talking the talk makes all the difference, whether it's politics. Our second book was about blended families living together. Whatever the topic, and we have lots of tough topics these days, if you approach it with the right tone, the right attitude, and the right kind of compassion, and these books are all about civility, that lost art in this toxic environment, it really does start to embed a positive tone that you want to see by the time they're 17.
Well, I applaud you for what you're doing, because too often, once these kids get about 7 or 8, we say, oh, let's get them an iPad, and you know, our kids are getting phones younger and younger, and everyone seems to be on their electronic devices. People don't sit down at dinner and discuss these things enough, and we all get so busy in our lives. And I know some for legitimate reasons, but when special events come up like this, it's just such a wonderful teaching tool. What's next on your agenda after Boomer and Hallie? What are you working on now, Mary Jane?
The next book I'm working on is called Pause to Help. It's P-A-W-S. And it has to do, our little town is a very demographically diverse town, and it's about a young African-American child who's 7, very studious, very sensitive, and he no longer talks. He has shut down. His daddy is doing the second tour of duty overseas, and mom is working 2 jobs, and she's scared all the time. The child is just shut down. But with all topics as tough as that can be, when the town of Shady Pines and Boomer and Hallie and Edna and Harold come into it, well, by the end of that story, little Ray Robinson finds his voice. With the help.
Hey, got to go now. Got to shut you down, Mary Jane, because they're about to shut me down here on the Common Sense. Boomer and Hallie Election Day. You can get it on my and find out all about Mary Jane's books on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll look forward to a busy election and teaching our kids. Thanks for spending some time, Mary Jane. We'll have you on again in the future, okay?
Great talking to you, Jim. Good day.
Take care. Let's freshen up your coffee. We're going to come back and talk about that election in our final segment right here on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you're a contractor working in homes built before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500 per day per violation. If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties, properties built before 1978, you too could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500. We're Kachina. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions. Helping contractors and landlords comply with the new lead paint laws. Avoid the penalties. If you work on pre-78 houses, you must certify your firm. You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint. If positive, you must use lead safe work practices. You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit. This law is enforced by the EPA or your state. If you remodel or rent properties built before 78, call Kachina for free information and a free phone audit. Call 888-800-5224. 888-800-5224. KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com. Call us free. The audit is free. 888-800-5224. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're winding down till Election Day on Tuesday, less than 40 hours in many of your listening areas, depending on where you're listening to us here today, until Election Day, right around the corner. 35% of the population has already voted. 35%, that's a huge number. One-third of the population already voted, so and you can't see how they voted because what happens after the polls close, a group of polling commissioners counts those absentee ballots, and then, of course, you have absentees coming in. I think if with the hurricane problems, Sandy up on the East Coast, and you've got military ballots overseas, in most jurisdictions, if a ballot comes in 2 weeks after the election, in some areas it may be 30 days, it still gets counted. So you've got the disturbing possibility that some of these elections, particularly on the local level, could be held in limbo for the whole week time that goes by until these absentees come in. We may not know an election tonight. And, of course, look what happened in the presidential election in 2000, where it was weeks until we knew who won that election. In that case, Al Gore, the Democratic candidate, won the popular vote, where George Bush, the Republican candidate, won the Electoral College in a highly controversial turnout decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And what is very worth watching and also troubling, same thing could happen again. CNN Washington Post poll that came out this morning shows the race dead even, 48-48, too close to call, a dead even race for president. And so it looks like the battlegrounds are in the key states, the swing states, to where there's not a solid majority one way or the other. You've got the red and blue states that you heard me talk about before. I wonder why they came up with that red and the blue. You know, the Republicans are red. Red is kind of the Soviet Union colors, communism, isn't it? I wonder why they adopted the red or why they got tagged with the red. And the Democratic blue, I remember in the Bible it says that the symbol of wealth and corruption is blue. So that's in Proverbs if you want to check it out, by the way. Now, the corruption I understand in politics. I thought it was the Republicans that were the rich guys, though, in terms of wealth. But that's how they came up with the red and the blue somehow or other. Looks like this could well come down to this Electoral College. In other words, who wins Ohio and a handful of other states are going to end up being the deciding factor in who's elected president. You know, it's interesting. Since the conventions, Both candidates for president, Obama and Romney, have only gone to 10 states. So what that means is that 50 states are irrelevant to this process. They are either all red or all blue. That's predetermined what they're going to do. California is going to go Democrat. Nothing's going to change that. The Deep South, by and large, is going to go Republican. Nothing's going to change that. What you may see, though, is a dampening in the popular vote. What I'm talking about is Hurricane Sandy is going to leave a lot of people from voting. And by and large, New Jersey, New York, the states hit by Sandy, Virginia is still in play, but basically Democratic areas in this country. Those Democratic areas may not vote nearly as much. So, again, you've got the troubling scenario that Mitt Romney could win the popular vote, handily win the popular vote, and yet because of the emphasis on this Electoral College and the way the numbers are working, Barack Obama could be reelected as president and not get a majority of voters. Now, Republicans are going to go bonkers if that happens, the same way that Democrats went bonkers in 2000. And it may bring some pressure to actually change the Electoral College where a significant difference can be made. And here's what it means. To put it in perspective, here's what it means. California has got 37 million people there. With it, they've got 53 House members and they got 55 electorals. What you get two senators plus the number of congressmen all added together, and that's the number of electoral votes you have. So down here in Louisiana, you've got eight. In Wyoming, all you have there is let's see, what does Wyoming have? It has 56,000 voters. So let me tell you how the votes break down. A California voter has three and a half times less in terms of the count of their electoral vote. You see, a single electoral vote is worth three and a half times more in Wyoming than it is in California because of the way it breaks down. So you don't get a reflection of the populace. Now, this all went back to the Electoral College being created by our forefathers. It was often a two-week ride to Washington, very protectorate of states' rights. And back then, too, you see, states were basically the same size. There wasn't a whole lot of difference in population between Virginia or down in my home state of Louisiana. About this, maybe a little different. It wasn't that big to make that much difference over. So you had two senators to be sure that every state was considered equal in terms of that value. And there wasn't a whole lot of difference. Well, now there is tremendous population difference. And as a consequence, the Electoral College has become very controversial and, again, could make the difference in this election. I went and absentee voted already. Not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, but it was quite an experience. I was a chief elections officer in Louisiana for 8 years. I ran the elections. It's changed a good bit from back in the 80s when I was running the election process. And when I went to the polls, very long lines down here, as there are all over the country. So I stood in line about an hour, I guess, to vote. Checked out the people around me. I remember seeing an older lady up in front of me. She'd had a facelift and was wearing those Skechers shape-ups, you know, to kind of tilt your back and make it healthy. Apparently, she was definitely a Romneyite, definitely Republican. Then there's a guy right in front of me. He's got in his Birkenstocks and a T-shirt that says, "Save the Defenseless Spotted Owl." Well, I had him pretty much wrapped up as an Obama supporter. And so, anyway, I worked my way up to the booth. And finally, the lady takes my name, asked me for my picture ID, and I had no problem with that. Showed my picture ID. Then she follows me into the voting booth and takes this little plastic card and inserts the plastic card into my computerized machine. I guess she figured I was just too stupid to stick it in myself, but I made my choices, and there's a few of the candidates on there I didn't have a clue who to vote for. Some of those propositions, you'll find those all over the country. Good to do a little research. Generally, they'll put the voting the sample ballot out on the side for you so you can look it over. But if you got in some of these states out in California, they got a number of propositions out there. You listeners out in California probably ought to look in your newspaper, do a little research, because you get in there. And again, as much as I'm plugged in, some of these minor no judgeship is minor, but smaller district judgeship races. I just didn't know who the candidates were. I took a chance and picked my choice. But in any event, you pick your choice because we're got winding on down. And be sure and go vote, folks. This is important. Remember, take your kids if you got young kids to vote. Great educational tool to vote. Tuesday elections. Some states don't have elections on Tuesday, except it's required by federal law. So you folks that live in states that vote on Saturdays or some other day, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November every 4 years, that is the federal election day, and you are required to have the election then. And so that's why those of you listening to me that don't have regular elections that time, you will know. My projections, I don't know. I've got some people I respect who think that this Electoral College could make the difference. In some of those swing states, Obama is slightly favored. In Ohio, several of the swing states as far as the polls are going. But it comes down to turnout. How accurate are those polls? You know, 15, 20 years ago, it was all done by a landline so you could get an accurate count because everybody had a landline. Well, now an awful lot of people have cell phones, and the pollsters can't get those cell phone numbers. So, therefore, is the poll weighted in terms of older voters who have landlines? Younger people, by and large, my son lives in a house. Says, I don't need a landline. Dad, I got my cell phone everywhere I go. Hook it into my system. I don't want two numbers. I want one. I'm the old-timer that wants the landline out there. By the way, up in New York, you folks living up in the New York area, the most popular thing up right now, payphones. They have to send someone around every day. I think once the payphone can only take $500. And so they have to clean out the payphones every day because cell phones don't work. There's no internet service. And so many people up there are going to payphones and kind of bringing back the payphones, getting popular again. So anyway, I thought it was interesting to see that. Well, I haven't been into a payphone in years. Well, I'm not sure I know how to use one, but they're coming back popularly in those particular areas. Hey, be sure and vote. Election Day, again, just right around the corner. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You can sign up for a weekly column that I do. And I did a column on voting this week. Hope you'll take a look at it. Also, GNCLive.com. But try my website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You folks have a good week. We'll talk about the election next week. Take care. Glad you're listening to the Jim Brown Show this morning.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.